to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Revelation chapter 12 today. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. How many know that's yet to be? How many know that is going to happen? I ask you a question. Yeah. How many know that's yet to be? How many know that's going to happen one day? He's thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And we're just taking that first phrase. The rest of it will take another time. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Say that with me. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. One more time. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And I told you this. I want to talk. We're going to talk. This is number two. Conquering the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And I told you, I felt like there's so much fluff being taught about how to succeed in life and your dreams and all that stuff. And it has its place. But when it becomes the center part of how you're going to be a success in life, somewhere you may be a success in the eyes of this world. But listen, if God smiles, what do the frowns of men mean? And if God frowns, what do the smiles of men mean then? And the Bible says they overcame, they conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow our heads. Father, I ask you to open our eyes afresh and again this morning, that you would let us see and you would give us truth that would set us free and give us the weapons to fight with that we need. And we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be seated today. We talked about last week, there's a mystery to the blood. And we saw that life is in the blood, and that literally that when Jesus, Isaiah says, he gave his soul as an offering. How did Jesus give his soul as an offering? That was when he gave his blood, because the soul, the life of the soul, the life of is in the blood, the Bible says. So he gave it on Calvary. He gave his soul. He gave his life force, his nephesh, as it's called in the Hebrew language. And the Bible says in verse 11 still that they overcame the devil. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say there's still power in the blood, would you? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, and for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, one of the keys about the Word of God is the Word of God does not need our defense. I don't know if you know that or not. People say, man, you hear what they said. You heard what so-and-so said about the Bible. You're going to defend. Listen, Charles Spurgeon said it this way. I'd as much defend a lion as I would defend the Word of God. Because the Word of God needs no defense. They have tried to wipe it out for centuries. Kings have burnt it to try to wipe it out. But they've never been able to wipe it out off the face of the earth. It's still the best-selling book in the entire world over. Come on, somebody. You listen, it defends itself. It's powerful. It's strong. It's a two-edged sword. It has strength in itself. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned about life is this. I do not want to get to the place where I begin to rely on what I think, how I ought to do life and how I ought to defeat. I want to build my life upon the Word of God and commit my life as if I believe the Word of God is real and it's the voice of the living God. Look what Jude 8 says. Look at this. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, that's what we're talking about. How do you contend with the devil? was disputing about the body of Moses. We don't have any idea what took place at the death of Moses. All that we know is the devil tried to come and take the body of Moses. I believe personally, because you watch the idolatry of those Jews, they would have probably kept that body forever and worshiped that body at some point, because Moses was one of the greatest Old Testament patriarchs ever. And the Bible says that God brought Moses up on a mount, and there he died, and God buried him. But in that time, the devil, and the way God did it was through Michael the archangel. And when he came, the devil also came to steal the body of Moses. And the Bible says Michael the archangel came and was going to do exactly what God told him to do. And yet he had to contend with the devil in fulfilling the will of God for his life. Just like you and I have to contend with the devil. When God tells us to do something, then we have, there are demonic forces that we have to contend with. But I want you to notice how Michael contended with the devil. Because the lead up to this, go back to verse 8 again. The lead up to this is in verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious one, which means the angelic host. Just blaspheme the angelic, whether they're good angels, bad angels. Didn't say. Look at verse 9. But then he said, now let me tell you how to contend with the devil rightly. Judas, and when Jude was with the brother of James, he said, let me show you how to contend with the devil correctly. Not according to your dream, not according to how you want to do it to flesh, not according to, he says, when Archangel Michael contending with the devil was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people, here's how other people do it. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. That is, I don't know how to do this. I just know it. I just know how to do this. This is how you deal with it. This is how you deal with this situation. They do what they do instinctively. Instead of saying, maybe I'm dealing with things, I need to know how to deal with it properly to see the results I want to see. Amen. Are you following me this morning? He said, these guys are destroyed. People that all they do, and go back to verse nine. Go back one. Listen how Michael contended with the devil. And it was a teaching that Jude was doing to his people. Here is how you deal wrongly with the devil. And here's how you deal rightly with the devil. Because one of the keys about life is when I see somebody that does this, all that dirty, rotten devil, I kick that big devil, rah, rah, rah. And they just blaspheme the glorious ones. Now watch what I'm saying to you. Because I know this in their heart, they don't understand authority. They don't understand the Bible tells us to respect authority. You may not like a certain person that gets put into office, but there's a difference between disagreeing with them and disrespecting them. And disrespecting the office that God has established. Because my Bible still says there is no authority but what not be of God. And Paul wrote that when Nero was emperor of Rome. Not a godly man. Come on, somebody. And so Jude begins to deal with people. He said, you know, there are people, go back to verse 8. Because he shows you where he says, they rely on their dream to follow faith. Reject authority. I can tell you, when you reject authority in one part of your life, you reject authority in all parts of your life. When you open the door in one part, you begin, well, I respect them, but I don't respect that. No. You'll learn that will begin to seep into your life if you don't learn how to respect. And Michael, he said, let me give you an example. Michael had to deal with the devil one time, fulfilling the word of God and the will, what God had told him to do. He had to contend with the devil. And verse 9, go back to verse 9 now. He said, and he didn't bring some black, he didn't say, you dirty, rotten devil, you da-da-da, you liar, you da-da. He didn't do any of that. What he did was, he said, when he was disputing, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said this, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Michael, the archangel, understood authority. Michael, the archangel, realized the position that the devil had been given at some point. We don't know all the ins and outs, but he respected the position and the authority that he had once held. And the Bible says that, and he also respected what he was. He was an angel. And we covered some of that last week. And the Bible says he did not bring some blasphemous railings against the devil, but he stood there and he said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's why I hear some people praying and they're just calling the devil every other name you can think of and ever this and that. And I said, you know what? They're just doing what they know instinctively to do. Or they're doing out of their dreams, or they're doing out of their flesh, or they're doing whatever. I said, but what I want to do is I want to know how to fight the devil by the word of God. And my Bible says that they overcame, they conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. They conquered the devil by the... How does God rebuke the devil? How does God, in this side of Calvary, how does he do it? How does he rebuke the devil? Let me tell you, I believe that he still speaks. I believe the Lord rebukes the devil still today. And I believe the way that he does it is, he does it by the blood of the Lamb. Look at Genesis 4. Let me just teach you this so you can get this morning. This is just a teaching. This is not a shouting sermon as much as it's going to be a teaching. Because here's what he says. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me." Remember we talked to you that the life is in the blood. And last week we saw when the blood was spilt, we'd just seen red, you know, all over the ground. But God said, there's a voice in that blood and that voice is crying to me. "Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother, you murdered him. And that voice is crying out to me." It's crying. It's, we say, well, what do you understand when God said it's crying out to me, that the blood was not just going, it was speaking. It was saying something. It was calling out to its creator. It was saying something to God. And the Bible says, God came and says, "Your brother's blood, it's crying out. It's speaking to me. It's screaming at me from the ground." Because blood speaks. Listen to this. Blood speaks. We don't have ears to hear. But listen, God said, "I hear the voice of your brother's blood. It's crying out to me." Look at where we're going. Hebrews. So turn to Hebrews now. Watch this. "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkled blood that does what?" What does the sprinkled blood do? Say it again. What does it do? Blood speaks. Listen to it. Blood speaks. The Bible says it spoke. Jesus' blood speaks. And I want you to do this. The Bible says in verse 24. Come back to verse 24. It says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." I love this scripture. Look what it says. "The blood of the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." God remembered back. God said, "I remember standing there at that blood of Abel, how it was speaking to me from the ground." But he said, at Calvary, when Jesus took the blood to the Father, it wasn't just some symbolism. That blood was speaking. It has a voice in it. And the Bible says, God said, that blood spoke better things than the blood of Abel. What does that mean? The blood of Abel was crying, "Revenge! Lord, I've been murdered! Lord, there's death! Lord, avenge me of my adversary!" But when the blood of Jesus came, no man took his life. He gave his life. The blood of Jesus was speaking forgiveness, mercy. "Lord, forgive them. Lord, cleanse." We'll see in just a minute. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That's why I can conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you need to understand. What does that mean, Pastor? We just say it as a cliche, but you've got to understand how they conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb. You do that by understanding that the blood of Jesus speaks. You've got to understand, not just the, but it says the sprinkled blood. What does that mean? That means you've got to know how to apply the blood. That means you've got to know how to, the blood is just not, you took the blood and you sprinkled the blood. What does that mean? That means you use, that means the blood speaks. That means the blood was applied. The sprinkled blood applies. I need to exercise. I'm getting tired already. Let me tell you what it does. The blood of Jesus, and I'm not going to be a long time. Listen, I'm not going to be a long time. I'm going to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband. I'm going to keep you long. Come on, somebody. I've lost the anointing now. I can feel it already. But you know what the blood of Jesus speaks? It speaks to your past. It speaks to your present. And it speaks to your future. Do you know what gives me peace? It's not because I can say no to drugs. It's not because I'm not against any of the self-help programs. You know what helps me more than anything else is understanding how the blood of Jesus speaks. It speaks to my past, it speaks to my present, and it speaks to my future. Now look, I'm probably one of the best guys in here, you know, of anybody in here. I'm just a real good guy. But you know what? Some of you are dirty, rotten scoundrels. Come on, somebody. And some of you, how many of you, except for the Lord, would be in jail today? How many of you would be in jail today except for the Lord? Come on. You know, I thought through when we're talking about Cameron voted this. How many of you were not voted the student of the year in your class? I was voted something for the year, but it was not student of the year when I graduated from class. But God can, how many, what I love? I love God. God loves to take the great and the bad. And the same gospel is to the good as it is to the rotten. I remember one time Arno C. Gabling was in a carriage with a very, very wealthy lady. And all of a sudden, for some reason, he felt impressed to witness to the carriage driver. And he witnessed to the carriage driver was a servant, one of the slaves that this woman had. And when he led this person to the Lord, and she's sitting there in the carriage drive, she's not a Christian either. And then he turns and begins to witness to her. And she said, "Wait, stop. That's what you told him." And she said this, and he said, "The same gospel that saved him will be the same gospel that saves you." Come on, somebody. Give him a great clap offering. I mean, the Lord. So here's what the Lord's going to do. The blood of Jesus speaks to three things in my life. It speaks to my past, it speaks to my present, and it speaks to my future. Number one is, it speaks forgiveness to my past. Some of you might have been as dirty as I was, but it speaks forgiveness to my past. Look at the scripture. Put the scripture up there, Ephesians. Knowing that you were ransomed from, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 1. We're wrong scripture. Ephesians 1. There we go. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Everybody say the forgiveness of our trespasses. See, forgiveness has to do with my past. And the way that I deal with the devil is I deal with the devil when he accuses me. He's the accuser of the brethren. When he accuses me, I don't go to some person, whether they be a counselor or whatever. I don't go there and they say, "Now, the reason you feel guilty about your past is because of these archaic Christian values that's been put in your brain." What we need to do is get rid of all those archaic, things they call sin. And we need to get that out of your thinking pattern, and then you'll feel better about yourself. You're okay, I'm okay. And you know what they do? They go back home, and deep inside, they feel as dirty as when they went. Because the only thing that can conquer your past is the blood of the Lamb. When you know that your forgiveness of sins has been done by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you what forgiveness deals with, removing forever in God's memory your sins. Forgiveness deals with forever. Removing the memory of your sins from God's mind. What forgiveness does is It removes forever by the blood of Jesus. It removes forever. Listen, the blood of Jesus was not just a price that was paid for our ransom, but it also bought the blood to the Father. Hebrews 9 said, we read that last week, we'll read it again. Hebrews 9 said that when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption for you and for me. He brought his blood into the holiest of all in heaven. And the Bible says that when he brought it, look at verse 24. For Christ has entered not into the place with hands, which are copies of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Why did he go there? On whose behalf? Our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as a high priest enters, but every year with blood, not his own. But he entered with his own, for then he would have done it openly. But he appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know why I can stand here and I don't feel guilty about my past? It's because I have conquered that devil by the blood of the Lamb. I have been forgiven. My past has been dealt with. You know what happened? I believe with all my heart, when God appeared in that, when Jesus appeared in that heavenly tabernacle on our behalf, he took his own blood, which speaks. It speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks, and it cried out to the Father. He was listening. It said, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. And I believe the Father said, I forget. Come on, somebody. He said, I forget. I will not remember their sins. Forgiveness deals with God forgetting your sins. Forgiveness, the blood does something to God's memory. The blood, when God heard his own son's blood crying out, speaking better things than what Abel's blood, when the Father heard his own son's blood say, Father, forgive him. Father, love them. Father, wash them. Father, cleanse them. The Bible says God said, I forget. How do you know that? How do you know he said that? Let me show you why. Look at Hebrews 10. Listen to what it says. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put laws on their hearts, write them on their minds. Then he adds. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Could God? God can do anything he wants to do. Will he? Never. Will he? Never. I said one time I want to preach a sermon on things God cannot do. Oh, I thought he can do it. No. The Bible says God cannot lie. And the other thing is, God said, I will remember your sins and your lawless deeds no more. Come on, come on. That is for some of you. Look at Micah 7. Look what Micah said. Come on. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depth of the sea. Look at Isaiah. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. You have cast all my sins behind your back. You know what that means? That means that God said God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Repent means to turn around. When God casts my sins behind him, the Bible says he never turns around and looks at him. Come on, somebody. He throws them, and being eternal, his hand is eternal. That means my sins are still being separated from him as far as the east is from the west. In fact, look what Psalm says. Maybe another. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above, so great is his steadfast love toward those that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. Remember, we told you this. You go north and south. Pretty soon you'll be going north again. Then you hit the bottom, you go south again. You hit the bottom, you go north again. The top, you go. But if you go east to west, you know what the Bible says? You know what you understand? You keep going east, 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 east. You know what that means? That means as far as the east is, that means infinity. Come on, somebody. He has separated my sins as far as the east is from the west. And I need a chair. Come on, somebody. Number two, I told you I'm going to be fast today. My present. Knew how I conquered the devil, not only about my past. Because some of you have done some pretty rotten things. Some of you have done some stuff you are still shamed about. But you know what the Bible says? God will take that stuff and he'll fling it behind him. He'll separate it from you. He'll put it behind him to where when you come to him and say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me by the blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb's blood will speak forgiveness. It will speak, forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. The Bible says God hears that voice. He takes your sins. He takes that filth and he casts it behind him. And when God looks at you, you're no longer the dirty person you feel like. You're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you're present. Not only does the blood deal with your past, it deals with your presence. Not only do you have to do things instinctively, live, you conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Here's how you do it for the present. John says this. John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. Present tense. Cleanses us. From the blood of his son, not only did it have something to do with dealing with God forgetting and my memory of my past, but the blood is a continuous cleansing agent in my life right now. Not something that happened just at my rebirth. Not something happened just when I got saved. I bring the blood in my life right now. And as I walk with him, and I walk with him in the light as he's the blood of his son is still doing something in my life right now. It's cleansing me, not only of past sins, but of present difficulties and sins. I can believe that the blood of his son cleanses me. Everybody say from all. Say all one more time. See, sin deals with your conscience. Sin is conceived in the heart. The blood of Jesus, not only just an outward act, but literally, listen, the blood of Jesus can get rid of a guilty conscience right now. Brother Eccles, I say it all the time. He said, it's easier to sleep with a wet dog than a guilty conscience. You ever lay down in bed at night and had a guilty conscience? You know how it is. You were about to murder your children. You were about to murder them. And then right before you go to bed, you look in the bedroom and they're sleeping. They're sweating a little bit. Their angelic faces. And you lay down in bed and think, how did I think of murder? How was murder in my heart just an hour ago? And then you just multiply that out, something else you may have done in the day. And you lay down in bed and you've got a guilty conscience. Next scripture, look what this says. Go ahead, next scripture. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living? Let me tell you what the blood can do. Not only does it forgive me of my past, every day of my life, I don't say, well, I'm just going to desensitize my conscience and just say, it's just oversensitive. You know what I'm going to do? Father, I sprinkle the blood. I ask you, Lord, cover my heart, cover my conscience with the blood. And you know what happens? Lord, forgive me what I've done. Lord, cleanse me. Not because I'm just asking. I'm asking based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I apply the blood to my guilty conscience, that blood speaks to the Father. Forgive! Forgive! Cleanse! Cleanse! And you know what God does? God responds to the voice of his son's blood. Come on, somebody. It says that it will purify our guilty conscience. Isaiah 1 and 18 says this. Though your sins, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. There were two kinds of stains in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament days, that they could not get out of something. One was scarlet and one was crimson. Those two words in the Hebrew language were the two stains that every Hebrew knew. If your garment gets stained with that, you might as well throw it away. There's nothing can undo that. But God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be. I don't care what the dirtiest thing you've done over this weekend. If you are willing to repent this morning and turn away from it, the Bible says he can wash you white as snow. He can not just do some outward work. He can get down in your conscience and he can make you feel okay in your conscience. He can release you. The blood of Jesus can deal with your conscience. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Now look at this. It says, do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. I don't know if some of you, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. He's writing this letter. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were reviled. Some of you were, and some of you were all these things. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Come on, somebody. How many need, and they say, you're just brainwashed. I said, man, I'm just more than brainwashed. I need my conscience washed. I need my whole brain washed. I need my whole body washed. Amen. The Bible says you were, everybody say you were washed. One of the most powerful cleansing agents of your human body is your blood. Not only does it bring oxygen and all that stuff to your cells. You know what your blood does? Your blood cleanses. And takes all the junk. You know what's happening in your body right now? That old heart of yours is pump, 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 pump. You know why it's pump, pump, pumping in your heart right now? You know why it's pumping in your chest? Because it's cleaning you. It's the mechanism that's shooting the blood through your whole. Right now, your blood is cleansing your body. Right now, your physical blood is cleansing. You're just sitting there looking on them. And you know what's happening? God has got blood flowing through your body, cleansing all those, taking all that junk from each one of those cells and cleansing. Come on, somebody. You're sitting there being cleansed right now. You're just being cleansed. They told me when I was little, my bed used to shake. My heart had such strong. I must have been dirty beyond dirty. And now I'm just cleansing my body, cleansing my body. And I'm going to tell you something. You're just sitting there and you're a child of God. Guess what's happening in the spirit realm? The blood of Jesus, as you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus is just cleansing you day in, day out. Come on, somebody get happy with it. I mean, just cleansing your body. All right, musicians, come on up. I told you I was going to do it. Musicians, come on back up. Then number three is my future. Not only did he cleanse my past, but he cleansed my future. Now watch this. Romans 5 and verse 9. Not only does the blood deal with my past, it deals with my present. And listen to what it says. Go ahead, next scripture. Come on. Get back there. Come on. Romans 5, you have that? Romans 5, you don't have it? Romans 5 says this. Having now been justified by his blood. Everybody say justified. Yes. Having now been justified by his blood. Listen, forgiveness deals with my past. Cleansing deals with my present. But justification deals with my future. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Having been justified, listen, by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. You know why? Becky's mom was so at peace. She wasn't sitting there and she never said, I'm such a good woman. I've been such a great person. I'm just so relying on my own goodness. Do you know what she was doing? She had been saved by the grace of God. And she had been saved. Listen, she said, you know what? I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And now I am saved from the wrath to come. When I stand before the Father one day, I'm not going to, listen, every one of us will stand before the Father one day. And we will stand there, and I don't want to say, judge me according to my, I don't want to do all that. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm here by one reason alone. It's by the blood of the Lamb. And the blood has been sprinkled on me, and I am saved from the wrath to come, not by cause of good works I have done, but I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. You know how I can defeat the devil when he brings worries about my future into my brain? What I do in my heart is I remind myself, I conquer you by the blood of the Lamb. I don't bring railing accusations. I just say, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus rebuke you, devil. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. The other day, I read an interesting fact, and that was, you know, the average lifespan of a Major League Baseball. The average lifespan of a Major League Baseball is 7 pitches. It's the average life of a Major League Baseball, 7 pitches. That's kind of short. It's less than an inning. The average lifespan, and it's you mean a brand new ball you see all the time? You know, they're trying to rough them up a little bit and get a little airflow. All that, you know, because the lifespan of a Major League Baseball is 7 pitches. You know, our lifespan is just like that. It's just like it's here today and gone tomorrow. Our life is sort of like a vapor. It's sort of here 1 minute and gone the next. I want you to stand up this morning. The word of the Lord for us this morning was this, that God wants to use us. And many of you will not be used because you don't know that you how to be righteous as bold as a lion. And when you let the blood of Jesus apply to your past, your present, and your future, you can begin to be used of God. And you begin to say, Lord, I'm not bold because I'm righteous on my own account. I'm going to be bold because I'm righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say this. Say, I am free this morning, would you? We're going to do that song, I'm free. I want to say, I ask Mike and them, if they would do this song, I am free. And I want you to begin because the Bible does not say the truth will set you free. It never says that. It says you shall know the truth and then that truth will set you free. Only the truth you know will set you free. Truth will not set you free. Come on, guys, get a beat up going. Get out of this. We're gonna do this one. I want to sing this song, I Am Free. And I want you to begin to let go of all your guilt of your past, the present, and the future, and begin to say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Lord, I'm available this morning. Lord, I'm free by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, let's begin to sing that to the Lord. Come on. God is honored when you honor His Word. God is honored when you trust Him. God is honored when you believe Him. God is honored when you say, you know, Lord, I'm going to take the Word of God literally, and I'm going to live, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to do it. And God is honored in that. Instead of thinking, no, there's got to be more. There's got to be a different. There's no other way. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, there is no other way to be cleansed. There's not enough good works you could do. There's not enough things you could undo. Listen, God will tell you those are works that will happen because of your righteousness, not to make you righteous. There is forgiveness and things you'll do because you're righteous, not to make you righteous. There'll be works that God's ordained from the foundation of the world because of your walk with Him, not to make your walk with Him. And this morning you need not to put the cart before the horse. You need to understand that is how God's done it. That is the way God has determined. That is why there was a death on a cross. That's why there was blood spilled, because of the speaking of the blood. And the Bible says it's sprinkled blood that speaks. You got to apply the blood. We pray almost every morning, Jasmine, we pray for our children. We pray and we say, Lord, cover them in the blood of Jesus. It's not some archaic meat house type religion. It's not that. It's not some slaughterhouse, ugliness. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the truth of the universe and how we were made by the Creator and what He's done and what works. Let me tell you, if you want to know what really works, finally say, well, I better go find the man. I just better go back and read them. Somewhere there's a manual. How does this thing work? This is how it works. And this is what will change you. This is what will keep you. This is what will help your yesterday, help your today, and help your tomorrow. He'll be the same in all those things of your life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray the truth of the blood of Jesus upon this congregation. As pastor, I sprinkle the blood upon this congregation afresh and new. Lord, just by saying and speaking and receiving all the truth that you've shared and revealed about the blood of Jesus over this place. Parents, I would commend you to do that over your kids every day. Job got every day, and the Bible says that he sacrificed animals and the spilling of the blood to cover his kids. And let me tell you, if something happens, then you can know this. I've done all I can do. God is going to turn something for the devil meant for evil for good then. All his kids are in heaven. I'm going to say, you come to that place. Okay, I've done what the Lord's commanded me. Now I've released them to the Lord. But I've learned this in my life. You know what? God, listen, God honors the blood. So Lord, this morning we come before you. And we know the blasphemy has to do with not giving honor to the blood. And today we honor the blood of Jesus. Lord, we take your reproach upon us. And we love you. We bless you. We praise you. How we adore you, Father. We honor the blood of Jesus. We honor the blood of Jesus. Everybody said amen today. God bless you. Would you turn around and hug somebody? Would you do that in Jesus' name? Just hug somebody. And now let's give the Lord a great clap offering. Would you do that with me? Come on, give him a great clap offering. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Go in the name of the Lord.
And how great is our God. Sing.